Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. On Tuesday, Barack Obama will be sworn in as the 44th President of the United States. This week on our program, we look at presidential inaugurations, past and present.
Inauguration Day used to be March 4th under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution. In the old days, it took a long time to count the votes from the November elections. Then the winners had to travel to the Capitol. But the 20th Amendment shortened the transition period between administrations. It moved inaugurations to January 20th. Franklin Roosevelt was the last president inaugurated in March. That was in 1933. 4 years later, he became the first president inaugurated in January.
This was George W. Bush being sworn in by Chief Justice William Rehnquist in 2001.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
The words of the oath are in the Constitution, all except, "So help me God." That was added by tradition. Who began the tradition? George Washington, maybe, or maybe not. There is debate. Remember, this was long before tape recorders and YouTube. The best that historians can say is that the oath has ended with "So help me God," at least since Chester Arthur's inauguration in 1881.
One tradition we know George Washington began was the inaugural speech. The Constitution does not require it. Washington gave the shortest one ever, just 135 words, during his second inauguration in 1793. The longest inaugural address on record was given by William Henry Harrison in 1841. He spoke for almost 2 hours on a cold and rainy day without a hat or overcoat. He caught a cold, which became pneumonia. He died a month later.
The first outdoor ceremony was James Monroe's inauguration in 1817. Inaugurations are held at the United States Capitol, the legislative building with the big white dome. In 1829, Andrew Jackson had the first one held on the completed east front of the Capitol. Future presidents followed. But ever since Ronald Reagan in 1981, presidents have been inaugurated on the west side. It faces the long, grassy area known as the National Mall.
Some of the best-remembered words of presidents came from their inaugural addresses. In 1933, during the Great Depression, Franklin Roosevelt sought to give hope with these words.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And in 1961, during the Cold War with the Soviet Union, John Kennedy urged people to take an active part in the future.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Abraham Lincoln made what many historians consider the best inaugural speeches of all. The end of his first one reads like poetry, as he appeals for unity in a country under threat of civil war.
We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory, stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be by the better angels of our nature.
Barack Obama plans to honor the 16th president, one of his political heroes, at his own inauguration. He will place his hand on the same Bible that Lincoln used at his first inauguration in 1861. The book is kept by the Library of Congress and has never been used at another swearing-in. Lincoln used a different Bible at his second inauguration.
George Washington was the first president to place his hand on a Christian Bible when taking the oath of office. Since then, Bibles have been used with rare exception. John Quincy Adams used a law book. He was very religious and thought the Bible should be used only for religious purposes. Under the Constitution, religion and government are supposed to be separate. So why did George Washington use a religious symbol? Donald Kennan is Vice President of the United States Capitol Historical Society. He says the idea came from England, America's former colonial power.
It was a tradition in Anglo-American culture to swear oaths on a Bible.
George Washington was a military hero. So was the 7th president, Andrew Jackson, who took office in 1829. By the time of his election, most white adult males could vote. They no longer had to meet requirements for owning a lot of property. Historian Donald Kennan says Jackson was considered the first people's president, and that was not all.
Andrew Jackson's inauguration was the first at which large crowds of American citizens witnessed the swearing-in ceremony, the parade, and went to the White House following the swearing-in ceremony at the Capitol. There was such a large crowd that a ship's cable, a heavy rope, was stretched across the portico to separate the crowd from Jackson as he took the oath and delivered his inaugural address. The crowds followed him to the White House to take part in the inaugural celebration. There were so many people at that time, and at that time a crowd of 20,000 people was a very, very large crowd. There are reports that the White House was trashed, in effect, and that the servants at the White House had to take the punch and the refreshments out onto the lawn in order to get the people out of the White House and prevent them from damaging it even further.
Margaret Smith, a leader in Washington society at that time, wrote a letter describing the scene.
Ladies fainted. Men were seen with bloody noses, and such a scene of confusion took place as is impossible to describe. Those who got in could not get out by the door again, but had to scramble out of windows. At one time, the president, who had retreated and retreated until he was pressed against the wall, could only be secured by a number of gentlemen forming round him and making a kind of barrier of their own bodies.
Barack Obama's inaugural ceremony will include poetry by Elizabeth Alexander and music by singer Aretha Franklin, violinist Itzhak Perlman, and cellist Yo-Yo Ma. Prayers will be offered by Joseph Lowery, a well-known civil rights leader from Atlanta, and by Rick Warren. He leads a big church in California and has sold millions of copies of books about the purpose-driven life. Some supporters of the president-elect deplored his inviting Pastor Warren because he opposes same-sex marriage and abortion rights.
Joe Biden will be sworn in as vice president. Then he will join the new president and their families for a luncheon inside the Capitol. This will be followed by the inaugural parade, with marching bands and floats along Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House. In the evening, the new president and First Lady, Michelle Obama, will attend the 10 official inaugural balls. These are big celebrations that bring out a lot of powerful and wealthy people. This time, with the economy in a bad recession, some guests may not be as wealthy as they were. But inaugural balls are supposed to be a time to dance and have fun. People will also attend many other parties and unofficial balls around the Washington area. Kenya, the birthplace of Barack Obama's father, will host the Africa and International Friends inaugural ball.
Private donations help cover inaugural costs. The events this year could cost more than the record $42 million spent 4 years ago. Mr. Obama's goal is to raise $40 to $45 million. His inaugural committee website is naming donors who have given $200 or more. The limit for individual contributions is $50,000.
Organizers have been preparing for as many as 2 million people at the inauguration of the first African-American president. The expectation of record crowds has created extra security and transportation problems. Some people will probably just stay home and watch the events on television. But some hotels and ski areas away from the city are offering special rates for people who want to avoid the crowds.
Our program was written by Nancy Steinbach and produced by Mario Ritter. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. VOA will have full coverage of Barack Obama's inauguration on radio, TV, and the Internet. Live video will begin at 16 hours 30 Universal Time Tuesday at usavotes2008.com. Join us again next week for This Is America in VOA Special English.